Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hello and welcome to this Thursday edition of The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and I hope your week is going well. Almost to the end of the week. This is the last day of March, so watch out for those pranks. No fooling tomorrow. have you ever had that experience where you do meet up with a friend or a family member, someone that you knew when you were young, but now you're both grown, you're adults, and you might even have kids of your own, have your own families, but that friend or that family member, whoever they are, they know all kinds of things about you, and they can tell stories to your kids about the things you did when you were your children's age. And that friend or that family member, they have that ability to embarrass you because of their knowledge of how you used to be, you know, the way you acted before you grew up, before you became so respectable, so dignified. Well, a number of years back, while we were on vacation, my wife and my kids and I, and we were visiting my hometown where I grew up, my family, we met up with one of my best friends from childhood, Matt, and his family, his wife and his kids. And at one point, I think it was when we were having dinner that evening, a couple of my older teenage kids, they asked Matt, "Can you share any stories of what our dad was like when he was a teenager, when he was growing up?" And they were hoping for one of those embarrassing stories. I don't think I got any of those, but the one that Matt started to share first, it was an experience that I had completely forgotten about. I didn't remember it at all until he started telling this story. He said that one of his favorite memories was the summer after we graduated high school. We were both 18. And when we weren't working to try and save extra money for college, knowing that we'd be going to different colleges in different states, just being good friends, we were trying to make the most of the time that we had through the summer, spending as much time together as we could. And one night, it was getting pretty late. I think it was somewhere after probably 11 o'clock. And we're driving around town, and we're still awake and still wanting to do stuff as young kids do, you know, want to stay up late. And another good friend of ours, Dan, he was with us, and I don't know which of the three of us suggested it, but somehow the idea of sneaking into one of the public swimming pools in our city came up, and unanimously we all agreed, this is a great idea. So we headed over to this community pool that was located close to our high school. It had this tall chain link fence that was all around the pool area. But it was kind of off of any main road, secluded enough that we weren't going to be in any real danger of being seen by anyone. And all three of us, we scaled up that chain link fence. I'm thinking it must have been at least 10, maybe 12 feet tall. And we go over and we come down inside the pool area. We kick off our shoes. We took off our shirts. We jumped into the cool water. And we had the whole pool to ourselves. I don't know. We were probably there 30, 45 minutes, something like that. Now, a couple of things here. First of all, if you have teenage boys, you know this. If you have boys that are young, you'll experience this later on. A teenage boy by himself probably won't do anything that bad or that stupid. He's going to be a pretty good kid. But when two teenage boys get together, for some reason, the intelligent quotient, it just drops. What on his own, he might have said, well, that's maybe not the best idea. Two boys together, they start saying, well, there's so much fun or adventure. They just see that fun side of it. They don't see the risk or the downside of whatever it is that they're looking at, whatever they're considering. And the more teenage boys you add into that group, it's exponential how the intelligence kind of just decreases among them. So I just say this, if you have boys that are going to grow up and turn into teenagers in the next couple of years, be aware that they're probably pretty good on their own. In groups, they don't make the best decisions. But the other thing that I'll say here, while nothing bad happened when Matt and Dan and I went into the pool, you know, it was harmless activity. Nobody got hurt. There was no damage to any property, nothing like that. But still, we were entering into an area where we shouldn't have been allowed. That tall chain link fence, that was a symbol that basically said, you are not supposed to come in this way. You're not supposed to be here. No trespassing. But we did. We trespassed. And that put us in the wrong. Even if we didn't get caught, we trespassed. Have you ever given much thought to that word, trespass? We say it a couple of times when we pray the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Maybe consider that idea of when you wrong someone, when you sin against God. You've entered into an area that really should be off limits to you. And if you have trespassed into that area, well, you need to be forgiven. Additionally, you also need to be able to forgive those people who trespass into an area of your life. If they hurt you, if they wrong you. Sometimes that can be a very difficult process, though. Well, today here on The Inner Life, we want to spend the hour talking about forgiveness. The forgiveness that's offered to each one of us by God, but also we want to look at the fact that God demands, and I use that word specifically, He demands that we forgive others if we are going to receive His forgiveness. And joining us for the hour here as we look at this topic of forgiveness, our spiritual director, Father Craig DeYoung, is back with us once again. Father Craig is a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas. He's the pastor of St. Louis, King of France Parish there in Austin. Father, welcome back to the program. So glad to be able to talk to you today.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate being back on.
Well, so trespassing, you know, physically, you might get caught going into a place where you're not supposed to, but that idea of trespassing where we kind of go beyond boundaries that we should, you know, we shouldn't have gotten into that area, it always has struck me that's a very interesting word that's been translated into our English vernacular. That we use that. Sometimes we'll hear a different translation that might say, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. But trespass seems to really suggest we've actively strayed into territory where we don't belong.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that word as you were sharing that interesting story. And of course, I had flashbacks to my own teenage years and all the things that went on during that time. But, you know, I think trespassing over a boundary. I was thinking in terms of like a path. You know, during this Lent, I've been reading Brant Petrie's new book, you know, Introduction to the Spiritual Life. And it's called Walking the Path of Prayer with Jesus. And I was thinking about how the path we walk to heaven, you know, is really in a lot of ways the commandments of Christ, you know, to love one another as I have loved you, is to stay on that path. But when we leave that path, when we cross over the boundary of that sort of safety marker of walking through, I guess, the wilderness of this life, that's the trespass. We've left the path of safety. We've left the path of communion with the Lord and with one another. And so you cross over, and it's dangerous on the other side. It's, you know, you're separated from, you know, you're separated from God and from others when we trespass too far, right? Yeah, it's an interesting word. I hadn't really thought of it in too much depth, but that's the first thing that sort of comes to mind.
Yeah, well, I like that kind of image you give of when we don't trespass off the path, when we don't go into areas we shouldn't be, there's the safety. Otherwise, we're getting into dangerous areas there. I also mentioned the Our Father. You know, that's where we hear that word specifically. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Jesus, He gives us this prayer. The one that we typically reference is in the middle of His Sermon on the Mount. And right before He gives us the prayer, He gives a few guidelines. And then He says, this is how you should pray. He gives us the Our Father. Right after He concludes the prayer, there's so much that He could have gone into trying to explain, trying to give further clarification on so many different aspects of the Our Father. But He only goes back and talks about one, and it is the fact that if you want to be forgiven by your Father in heaven, you have to be willing to forgive those who have offended you. Why do you think this is such an important point? Of all the things that Jesus could have gone back to, why does he highlight this aspect of the prayer?
Well, unforgiveness, hardens the heart, and it's a closing off. And in order to receive mercy, our hearts have to be open. They have to be softened. And it's such a key piece of receiving God's forgiveness. It's, I think to myself, if my hands are full of things, whatever those things may be, and someone wants to hand me something, I either have to put all the things in my hands down in order to receive it, or I can't receive it. And I think it's something like that. It's sort of the order of things, that in order to receive and open our hearts and receive God's mercy, we have to let go of unforgiveness. We have to soften our hearts. We have to open our hearts in order to receive it. And the Lord desires so badly, so much, right, to give us his love. He wants so badly to share in that intimacy and that communion with us for our sake, that it's a demand, because in order to receive it, we have to soften the heart, open our heart, empty our hearts in order to receive it. And so we have to give the forgiveness in order to open our hearts to that love that God wants for us.
Okay, so big question then, softening our hearts to receive the forgiveness of God. The obvious difficulty is when somebody has really hurt us. Or maybe they're continuing to hurt us. Maybe it's not just a one-time event. Maybe it is a continuing pattern. And, of course, this is going to be even worse when it's somebody who maybe is in a place of authority, somebody that we should be able to trust, whether that's a parent, a teacher. We've seen that, obviously with different priests who have, done horrible things. Maybe it's even a spouse, maybe there's infidelity or something that's happening there. So somebody that we should be able to trust, somebody that we should be able to look to and not have to worry about them hurting us, but they do. So maybe we can talk about a couple of things in regards to that. I guess the first thing is that there's a lot of times where the reaction might be, I don't even want to think about that. I want to try and ignore it. I want to imagine it never happened. And I want to just move on and get away from it as much as I can. But that's probably not a healthy way to try and deal with some of that hurt or some of that trauma, and to be able to get to a place where you're going to be able to offer forgiveness for somebody who's hurt you.
They are such difficult situations, when we've really truly been hurt, and the ongoing hurts so much more difficult in a lot of ways, because if someone's hurt us once and they're truly repentant, in some ways that's so much simpler than when somebody, has a habit or a pattern of doing harm to us. And I really think, especially when those in authority are parents, priests, or even other authority figures do those things, that becomes a real challenge. How do you even make that first step? How do you make that first turn toward forgiveness? And I don't know, I think maybe one of the first things I would sort of maybe counsel someone on in that situation is I would simply ask them, do you want to experience the love of God? And that may be like an obvious, well, yes, absolutely, I do. Well, just like we sort of said, in order to experience that love, we have to open our hearts. And this experience that you've had of being hurt by someone really and truly, and a true wrong being done to you, in order to experience that love of God, we're going to have to go there. We're going to have to go there. And, the Lord's going to be gentle. You can trust him, right? It is going to hurt, though. And so, but do you want that experience of God's love more than you want to sort of avoid the pain of going to that place? And then I think probably, if someone's willing to say yes to that and realize, okay, yes, I kind of have to go there in order to open myself now to God's healing touch, right, to be in that intimacy with him. There's a mistake we make where we think that forgiveness sort of means that you know, you have to pretend something bad didn't happen.
Or that everything's healed immediately, sure.
Exactly. And so I think the first step is to really acknowledge truly the wrong that has taken place and the gravity of it. I'm not sure that real forgiveness can happen when we minimize what's happened. It's not sort of just a do-over. It's not just sort of a pretend that bad hasn't taken place. I think the first step after turning towards God and being willing to go into that place with Him is actually sort of acknowledging really and truly the grave injustice and wrong that's taken place, the sin that someone else has committed or even continues to commit. You know, I think we often try to separate, you know, sort of justice and mercy, but in Christ they're one. They're made one on the cross. You know, He holds them in tension with each other. And so I think that is really important. And then, you know, the sort of, I guess, emotional side of things is then you have to actually allow yourself to feel what you're feeling. We often put moral judgments on our emotions. We say that this emotion is good or this emotion is bad. Emotions are kind of amoral, right? They don't have a moral quality. You sort of just feel what you're feeling. And then, you know, sin enters in when we make choices about those feelings and how to behave either interiorly or exteriorly. And so I think the next step is you just have to be where you're at with God and relate those things to Him and let Him, and then give Him room to speak to those things, you know, about His love for you, how He's close to you in these things, that He doesn't sort of just ignore them or turn his back to those evils that are taking place. But then we're left with a choice. We're left with a choice to love with Christ's own heart those who have committed those true wrongs. And, of course, the cross of Jesus Christ is the place we turn to look at maybe that next step.
Our spiritual director is Father Craig DeYoung, a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas, pastor of St. Louis, King of France Parish there in Austin. Today, talking about forgiveness on The Inner Life. And how about you? When have you had to make that decision? When have you had that choice of forgiving somebody, even when maybe it was very difficult? You didn't want to. How did that act of forgiveness help you in your relationship with Christ? How did it help you to experience healing by offering that mercy, offering that forgiveness? Or maybe you're still at a place where you're holding back forgiveness from somebody. You're finding it difficult to forgive someone, and you'd like some advice, some encouragement, some insight on how you might be able to move forward in that situation, you can give us a call and speak with Father Craig at 888-914-9149. Again, that phone number, 888-914-9149. You can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com, and we'll take your phone calls. We'll continue our conversation with Father Craig DeYoung in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Talking about forgiveness today here on The Inner Life. Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond. Our spiritual director for the hour is Father Craig DeYoung, a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas, and also taking your phone calls as we talk about forgiveness. 888-914-9149 is the studio line. And maybe you've had that experience where you've been able to forgive somebody. Maybe it was a difficult situation, but that forgiveness, how did that help you to be able to experience that healing that God wanted to give you in your life? Maybe you're in a situation right now where you just don't know if you can offer that forgiveness. It's a difficult time for you. It's something where the feelings aren't there and you're not sure how you can move forward to be able to forgive somebody who's really seriously hurt you. And you'd like to be able to speak with Father Craig, you can call in 888-914-9149 or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, right before the break, you said, you know, if somebody is dealing with that hurt in their life, they have that choice. They can either turn to Christ and they can look at Him and they can seek that healing, that mercy, that love that He wants to offer them, or they can choose not to. But so let's just, for the sake of what we're talking about here, say, yes, we want to look to Christ. you also mentioned we have to confront those things that we've been, you know, the areas where we have been hurt in our life, and that might be very difficult. When we walk into those areas, and they might be truly traumatic and something where, you know, our life just won't continue the way it had before. So if we have that kind of hurt, how do we guard ourselves against, if we're trying to seek out Christ, but there's so much hurt that we're kind of working through there, how do we guard ourselves against falling into areas of maybe bitterness, areas where we might have resentment that builds up towards that person, maybe hopelessness and despair? How do we set our sights on Christ so that we don't waver from that path and fall into these other areas that can be detrimental to us spiritually?
You know, that is really a difficult thing, because it does boil down to a choice that we make. And I guess there's two thoughts that are really have been helpful to me in my own, I guess, need at times to forgive others for their behavior towards me. I think the first thing I do is I remember that, there's a fairly pithy saying. It's that unforgiveness is taking a poison or drinking a poison and expecting the other person to die from it. I remember that the resentment and unforgiveness really is wounding me, right? It's doing harm to me in a lot of ways. And so I think to myself, well, I want to be well. I want to have peace in my heart. I want to have joy in my heart. And so it reminds me that the only person who can give that to me is Christ. And so I look to the cross is one thing that I do. A second thing I remember is that I am not guiltless. And truly, my own times that I have trespassed against God and against others, that God has been merciful with me. And in that, then, I think to myself, if God has been that merciful with me, how can I allow that mercy to flow through me to another, to give the love that I have received? And I think those two things really help me to look back to Christ and say, okay, Lord, I know that these things are true. Now, how do I do it? And I really think that going to the cross of Christ, his seven last words on the cross are my process for how I work through my unforgiveness. And I just know that place of the Passion is really a place that meets the true injustice of those trespasses, those transgressions against God and against each other. And that's where forgiveness is found. And in that, too, I also find in myself how to forgive when I pray with that great mystery.
Another thought, I guess, just following up on Jesus on the cross there and his words, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." We kind of hear that echoed again with St. Stephen when he's martyred there early in the book of Acts, and we see him praying for forgiveness for those who are actively killing him right there. But that idea, they know not what they do, you know, if somebody doesn't know what they're doing, if there is ignorance, I think it becomes easier to offer a little bit of forgiveness. You might be upset with them. You might say, you know, come on, you know, you shouldn't do that, but okay, you didn't know better. I'll let you off the hook. If somebody has full knowledge of what they're doing, then at that point, I think that does become a more difficult situation where you say, oh, you know, if Christ is saying they know not what they do, but I'm saying, you know, Joe or Susie or whoever it is, they knew exactly what they were doing when they hurt me. That can bring up another dynamic there for us.
Yes. I mean, I think when I'm thinking of Jesus saying this, I mean, you know, these elders and scribes and Pharisees who are have sort of set up this moment to condemn Christ to death. And in a certain sense, they think that they're doing right by God.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, that particular dynamic is still at play, because in their mind, they're doing a good thing. Their intent is not to put the Son of God to death. Their intent is to put a blasphemer to death, right? They think that they see it unclearly, but they seek a good. There are moments, I think, when people really are just being malicious and they know they're being malicious. And that's probably the case, too, because it's not just like everybody was probably in good conscience in this moment. I think there's probably some people who really knew that they were putting, you know, a good man and a prophet to death. And we're just doing out of malice, out of that bitterness and that jealousy. And so probably both things are happening when Christ says those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's those probably intended to do good and those who probably intended to do evil. But what's happening is they don't see clearly. They know not what they do is really sort of, they don't recognize the real truth, the reality of the situation that God has before them, who has done this incredible act of love. And they're putting the most innocent being that's ever existed to death in this moment. They don't understand it. They don't see it clearly. And I think if it happens to us that somebody, you know, does wrong to us, but they intended to do good or didn't really understand or were ignorant in some fashion, and we can see that, that is easier to forgive them. But even those who intend to do evil to us and really do it out of bitterness or malice, they're not seeing really clearly. You know, they're blind, right, to the goodness of God, and they're blind to the harm they're doing to themselves and to others, even when they intend to do the evil. And so I think, you know, the Lord's words on the cross here really are for both situations, and one is certainly harder, but Christ gives us a model for both.
Again, speaking with Father Craig DeYoung today here on The Inner Life, our studio line, 888-914-9149, as we talk about forgiveness. Sometimes might not be that easy in our lives. Maybe you're having a difficult time wanting to offer forgiveness, but just finding it, I can't quite get myself there. I don't feel like I want to forgive this person, and you'd like some advice, you can call in and talk with Father Craig. Maybe you have been able to offer that forgiveness to somebody. How did that allow you to experience freedom in your life, to experience the love and mercy, to welcome that from Christ himself? What has helped you to be able to get to that point where maybe you've been seriously hurt by someone, but you were able to make it to a point where you could say, yes, I do forgive you? 888-914-9149. Father, let's go to Josh, who's listening in Chicago. Josh, welcome to The Inner Life.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the call, taking the call.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, so my question really is in regards kind of the opposite side of forgiveness. You know, it's easy to, you know, say receive Christ's forgiveness or receive forgiveness from others. But when we actually kind of introspect and do those, you know, examination of our own conscience and when it looks at forgiving ourselves and kind of the process of that, I feel like it might just be a little bit more difficult. And I know it's something I struggle with. So just looking for some advice on that.
Yes, Josh, I think that's a pretty common trend that, you know, maybe we're able to forgive someone else, but, you know, in our own sins at times, especially when we've done something seriously wrong, you know, this idea of forgiving oneself kind of comes up again and again. And I think there's a subtle form of pride at play in this dynamic where we're sort of really thinking it boils down to us, right? But I think the idea here is that we would lift our eyes up to God, and God, you know, in the confessional, especially through the priest, says, "I forgive you." And so there's an act of faith there to say, "God has forgiven me. Who am I really not to forgive myself?" And to trust that God's forgiveness is enough. That I think that gives a lot of people an opportunity to sort of let go, right? And realize that forgiveness and that mercy, that God really is that great. But it is a very difficult thing, because what happens after that moment, even though we're forgiven, our emotions often still remain. And though we may be forgiven, we may still feel a sense of guilt, and that's where things like reparation come into play. So we can never truly make up, I think, you know, the wrong that has taken place. We can never undo everything. But we can really offer sacrifice of mercy and good works in reparation for our sins. And that can help to begin to alleviate those wounds of the heart and help us to feel forgiven, even though we already are. And we know that by faith.
Josh, great question. Thanks for calling in. You know, we've kind of talked a lot about the feelings, the emotions here. And Father, for any parent who has ever told their child, you know, maybe to a sibling, you need to go apologize. You need to go tell your brother or your sister that you're sorry. And the child might go up and say those words, I'm sorry. But then their demeanor, you know, their body language, just kind of the empty, hollow words that they say, they're only saying, I'm sorry, because they've been made to do that by their parent. But they don't feel that in the moment there. For us adults, I think we have those same moments, you know, where we don't want to apologize because we don't actually feel sorry for what we did. But on the other side, then there's, if somebody does apologize to us, we might not feel like we want to forgive them. And you talked about how emotions, at least to start, are basically amoral. There's not necessarily a good or bad. It's what we do with those emotions. So if this is the situation where we find ourselves, if we have been hurt, and as much as we maybe pray about it, we want to be able to get to a place where we can forgive somebody, if our feelings, if our emotions seem to be hampering us from that, any advice? What can somebody do in that kind of situation?
Yeah, we have to take our emotions seriously. I don't mean to be dismissive of sort of saying, well, they're amoral, so they don't matter. No, they're really an important part of who we are and, you know, sort of our makeup. And they really can get in the way, or they can also be a great help to us at times. And so if we're in a situation where our emotions are sort of hampering us and we're going through that process of forgiveness and we've decided to deal with it, we're taking it to the Lord, we've really related it to Him in prayer, that can sort of loosen up or free up the emotions. But then we do have a choice, and making that choice doesn't make the emotions necessarily go away immediately, like we've been talking about. But what happens if we continue to make the choice to love and to try to love as Christ loves, and we persist in that, relying upon God's grace and cooperating with it, over time our emotions begin to sort of get in line. There are some things that can help us to sort of process through those emotions, I think. I mean, there's simple things like exercise that can actually be a helpful thing. I know that when I'm stressed, you know, and feel a lot of these heavy emotions, exercise can be something that sort of loosens that up and it enables me to make a response, a choice of love, to will the good of the person who's hurt me. You know, I think talking with a confidant or a friend and processing through it can be a helpful thing. I do that with Brother Priest. Had to do so recently even, and a number of things. You know, I think there are things that can help us emotionally, but there are aids beyond sort of just simply willing through it and just sort of demanding our emotions to change. But I think you take yourself as you are, and then you realize that if you persist in loving God and coming to Him and surrendering to Him, over time the Lord is the one who gives you the new heart. He is the one who will bring about that change of heart if we but persist in it. And sometimes that takes a very long time, and you have to return to it again and again. There's practical things we can do, but I think ultimately it's a work of the divine physician who gives us a new heart.
Have to have that trust and reliance on Him. Again, our phone number, 888-914-9149, as we're talking with Father Craig DeYoung today about forgiveness. And let's go back to the phones. Father, Natalie is listening in Roseville, California. Natalie, thanks for calling into The Inner Life. You're on the air.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So my question is, after trying to forgive somebody, are we called to still have a connection, a relationship with them, or is it okay to just forgive and just kind of dust your feet, so to speak, and move on with your life, even though that, you know, that person is involved?
That's a really difficult question, Natalie. So if it's your husband's mother, a more particular sort of situation, something like that, you know, that relationship exists, you know, regardless of the situation, like, you know, those familial relationships are. But how deeply you invest in them and connect with people, I think there's a discernment at play. I mean, I know the Lord desires, right, that all may be one as the Father and He and the Holy Spirit are one, right? That's the great prayer of Christ in John's Gospel, that all would be one as the Father and I are one. And so there is this desire for reconciliation, but sometimes the circumstances and the choices of other people don't allow or permit that. We want to will the good of others. You know, we want to choose the good of our in-laws, for example, or our spouse or our children. But reconciliation sometimes isn't the most prudent thing. And that's where we really have to go to God and ask Him what He's asking of us in those situations. But knowing that the Lord does desire us to be one with Him and one with one another, and if that's a possibility, if there's a way forward in that, really to consider it and, a sacrificial and sort of radical act of love. But sometimes the situation itself doesn't really permit it, and I think that's something that has to be really decided through prayer.
Following up on Natalie's question there too, Father, you know, if there's somebody who is in a situation where there is ongoing, whatever it might be, abuse, or there's some sort of, you know, wrong that's being done to that person again and again and again, it might actually be the best thing for, yes, offer the forgiveness, but you do need to take yourself out of that situation so that you don't allow yourself to remain in some sort of a cycle that perpetuates. I mean, it's not good for you because you're being hurt, but it's not good for them because they're continuing that bad behavior, that bad action on their part. So it might actually be a better thing to kind of cause that separation if it's perpetuating a cycle.
That's a really key point, especially with serious things like domestic violence, right? We would certainly say to somebody that you need to be safe, right? You need to take be out of that situation so that the distance can happen in order to hopefully bring about a healing or reconciliation to the person who is being abusive in that situation, with the hope of somewhere down the line perhaps a reconciliation if possible. But yeah, there are just certain situations where actually distancing yourself from the person may be what is the most loving action. And again, it is situation by situation. What we shouldn't do, I think, is a dangerous thing. I think there's two extremes. One is where someone says, well, I should suffer all things out of love for this person, and therefore my own good and my own safety doesn't matter, and that would be, I think, incorrect. But the opposite extreme happens, too. It's like, well, for the good of other, I'm going to distance from them. But what we're really doing is we're taking the easy way out. We're not entering into and doing the hard thing that love requires of us. And that's why it's such a difficult thing and has to be decided really through prayer. But you have to evaluate all the goods at play, all the good things at stake, including your own health and well-being, and how to break sort of habitual situations. And sometimes disconnecting and changing the environment is a necessary part of breaking those cycles.
Again, speaking with Father Craig DeYoung today about forgiveness, and our phone lines are full right now, but if you'd like to email us a question or a comment, you can do that, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to continue our conversation and take more of your phone calls coming up next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and I'm so glad to have you along with us here today as we're having a conversation about forgiveness, how we can offer that forgiveness, especially because we ourselves have received that forgiveness, that mercy from God Himself, and how we can offer that to others. Maybe it's a difficult thing. Maybe it's something where you're really struggling to offer that forgiveness. And you'd like to call in and speak with Father Craig, the phone number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, or you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Jacqueline, who's calling in from Miramar, Florida. Jacqueline, thanks for calling into The Inner Life.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead. You're on the air with Father Craig.
I was kind of prompted to call because I was listening to the conversation, and I felt like I needed to call. I have been able to forgive my husband after like 10 years of him leaving our home, after 23 years of marriage. I actually came back to church 10 years ago, and on the Divine Mercy festivity, I was I asked the Lord to allow me to forgive my husband every day, because for me it was very difficult, and I knew that if I wanted to be with the Lord and receive Him as much as I wanted at the moment, I would have to forgive my husband. I offer him my forgiveness, and I also invited Jesus to be my husband in the meantime, because I wish and I pray for my husband, for his conversion, and also for our restoration, our marriage restoration.
Jacqueline, I am so grateful that you've shared that with us. You know, God gives graces to us, and often those are to be shared. And I think this is one of those situations that you really, you know, shared that with us today. It's such a painful thing, and yet so beautiful to know that you have turned to the Lord and opened your heart to His mercy and love. And I really love how you've said Jesus has become your spouse. And that's such a beautiful image for us. And, you know, as you were talking, Jacqueline, what came to mind was, you know, the divine mercy, that sacred heart of our Lord, that it's when His heart is pierced that the blood and the water flow forth, symbols of, you know, baptism and Eucharist, of God's mercy. And I can see how your heart was pierced, and yet how that flood of light of God's grace has come into your heart and flowed forth from it, and how that's brought a consolation. And so there's the pain of the situation, but then there's the beauty and the touch of God's mercy in that. So Jacqueline, that's just very beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I really appreciate your call. Again, our phone number, 888-914-9149. Father Craig, let's go to Marge, who's listening in Oak Park, Illinois. Marge, thanks for calling into The Inner Life. You're on the air with Father Craig DeYoung.
Thank you. I'm in a situation where I'm finding it hard to continue to forgive. I've raised my granddaughter since she's 8 years old. She's in college now. She's in a Christian college, and really seems to be devoted to Christ, and, you know, does much for church and everything. But I have found out, and she was dating a fellow for 2.5 years, a wonderful guy, and I just found out by accident she's been seeing somebody else on the side. Neither of them knows about the other. Very uncharacteristic of her. She's not sexually active, doesn't drink, no drugs, nothing like that. And I'm just, what the thing is that she lies, you know, she lies to me. And we've had through the years episodes of lying that I've forgiven, and we've talked through it. And I try and explain what a defect that is, and the cost of it, and the commandments, and heaven and hell. But it's like second nature to her, and I just want to separate from the relationship almost at this point. I'm finding it hard to forgive this time. I want to separate, but she's been abandoned by both parents, and I don't want to re-abandon her.
I think, you know, I think one of the things that comes to mind here is that when God sees sin, He sees pain, He sees hurt. You've mentioned, you know, that she's been abandoned. And I think your instinct there is to recognize that there's a deep wound, a deep hurt in her own heart that is the origin or the root of her own choices to sin in something like this. And the very difficult thing to do, but a very loving thing to do, is to continue to show God's love to her. That being said, it's very difficult when the sin is ongoing, when there's no sort of resolution to it without really repentance. And part of what love entails from us is that correction. It sounds like you've been trying to do quite a bit of that, to speak that truth into it, you know, to try to turn her to repentance and back from sin. But I think your instinct is right, and it is hard and it is difficult. But to look deeper, to see the pain and the hurt is there, that is there, and to think about how we might speak into that particular place may be helpful. But I think you might have to let go of thinking about not forgiving, but fixing the situation. In this situation, I don't have a solution for you to say, here's a quick and easy fix, obviously. But there's a sense of, in something like this, when we've tried and tried and tried, at a certain point you have to say, and Lord, it's yours, right? I surrender it to you, and I'll be present. I'll try to speak when I can, and I'll give love. But ultimately, God, I'm not going to be the one who can repair the situation. I just ask for the grace to love with your own heart. And I ask you, Lord, in intercession, to speak to this deeper place wherever the root of this particular sin is coming from in her life.
Marge, I hope that's helpful, and thanks for calling into the show. Father, as you're talking about, you know, not necessarily an easy fix there. You have to kind of turn it over. You have to surrender that to God. That can be a difficult thing. You know, we want to get immediate results. We want to see everything resolved and fixed on our own. But it brings up maybe a couple of things that we can talk about here in the remaining few minutes. One is, what if we have been trying to work through, you know, somebody's hurt us, and we go ahead and get to a point where we can say, yes, I do want to forgive this person. We offer that forgiveness. They know it, but then they reject that forgiveness. They just say, nope, not interested. Is there anything that we can do, or is that, again, do we just kind of hand that over to God at that point? We've done as much as we can?
Yes, I think it's the latter. You know, at that point, I think we have to try to remain open in case that person, you know, has their own conversion, you know, in terms of repentance and looks for that reconciliation with us. But I think it is one of those things where you have to turn it over to the Lord. You know, we can't choose for others, you know, and this is the hard part about free will, that people have to make choices for themselves. And it's one of the most agonizing and most painful things, you know, to watch someone make a choice that is bad for them and bad for our relationship with them. And I think, you know, we know it so well. I mean, parents especially know it. When children make choices that aren't good and sort of harden their hearts to reconciliation or to repentance or to God, and we can't fix it, right? We're not God. And this is why we need Jesus, why we need him as a Savior. But I do think he gives us a great gift in his mother to be one who is there with us in our agony and our suffering in that moment as Our Lady of Sorrows. I think, you know, the love she has for Christ is such that, you know, his sufferings become her own. But in the moment on the cross when Christ says, you know, woman, behold your son, behold your mother, and he takes her into his home, she turns that very love on us, and so she loves us with the same love she has for Christ, in that our sufferings become her own, and she suffers them with us. And so you're not alone in that agony of rejection. You're not alone in that agony of loving someone who chooses not to love in return.
Yeah, and then it really does become, because God wants the best for them. As much as we might love someone and want the best for them, God loves them infinitely more, and he's going to be working to the very greatest ability that he possibly can. I mean, he's God. There's nothing else that he could do other than just offer them that infinite love and mercy, and it's up to them to receive it.
And in a certain sense, you in that moment experience what's in God's heart, because him loving this your loved one more than even you do, how much more than his desire for that person to say yes, right? To say, you know, that I want to live and reconcile with you and live in God's mercy and love. And so you have a little hint of God's love, the magnitude of God's love for that person and for yourself as well.
It's beautiful. Father Craig DeYoung, really appreciate you taking this hour out of your day and spending it here with us. Apologies to those who called in and we weren't able to get you on the phones here on the show to talk with Father Craig. Father, we've got about 30 seconds here. Can I ask you to offer a blessing for our listeners as we conclude the hour?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask to pour your grace upon those who are listening today and all of those who listen to this recording, that they may know your merciful love, that they are loved even in the lowliness of their own sins. We ask you to give them your mercy through the sacrament of confession. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father, and I want to say thank you, of course, to Nick Santovich and Thomas Angesser for their help in producing the program today. I want to thank you for listening, being a part of the program, and want to encourage you to join us tomorrow, of course, as we continue here Friday of the Inner Life. It'll be a great conversation, and stay tuned. We've got Mass coming up next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Have a blessed afternoon.